ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, April 22nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The second-in-command of Meta, formerly Facebook, is facing internal scrutiny over the steps she took to protect her then-boyfriend, the CEO of Activision Blizzard, Bobby Kotick. According to exclusive reporting from The Wall Street Journal, Sheryl Sandberg pressured a UK tabloid to shelve a story about Kotick in 2016 and 2019. What did she do to bury the lead? Who else was involved? And why should her actions to protect her ex matter to the rest of us? On today's show, WSJ West Coast Bureau Chief Ben Fritz joins us to discuss. That's after these headlines. Elon Musk says he's lined up $46.5 billion to fund his takeover bid for Twitter. In a regulatory filing yesterday, Musk said he's also exploring a tender offer to acquire shares of the social media company directly from shareholders. Musk is personally committing $21 billion in equity, and he's lined up more than $25 billion in debt commitments from banks. Musk went public with his offer to buy Twitter earlier this month, but questions remained about how he would pay for it. Twitter said it received Musk's updated proposal and would be reviewing it. But sources say Twitter is still likely to reject the bid as too low. Toshiba is putting itself up for auction after getting pressured by foreign shareholders to explore a sale. The decision comes a month after shareholders rejected a plan to split the Japanese conglomerate into two. The company says it'll make an initial assessment of bids before its annual shareholder meeting in June. CNN plans to shut down its streaming service, CNN Plus, less than a month after it was launched. The move comes days after CNN's parent company, Warner Media, was taken over by Discovery Communications. Sources say executives at Discovery doubted the strategy behind CNN Plus even before closing the acquisition, and that the service had attracted fewer than 100,000 subscribers after launch. And Activision Blizzard says it plans to add two women to its board of directors. Lulu Chang-Mazurvi, a communications executive at the newsletter platform Substack, and Carrie Carr, an executive at Bacardi. The lead independent director on Activision's board said the new additions highlight the company's commitment to broadening the diversity of its directors. The appointments come a month after a judge approved an $18 million settlement between Activision and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission over allegations of sexual harassment and retaliation. A previous WSJ investigation found Activision's CEO Bobby Kotick knew for years about the allegations, but didn't tell the company's board. Activision is in the process of being acquired by Microsoft in a deal the two sides say is expected to close next year. And speaking of Bobby Kotick, according to the Wall Street Journal's exclusive reporting, his ex-girlfriend, Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg, was part of a campaign to quash a potentially damaging story about him. We'll discuss the details after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
Exclusive Wall Street Journal reporting has revealed that Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer of Meta, formerly Facebook, pressured a UK tabloid to bury a story about her then-boyfriend, Bobby Kotick. Sandberg and Kotick, who was the chief executive of the video game publisher Activision Blizzard, dated for 3 years between 2016 and 2019. According to sources, when Sandberg learned the digital version of the UK's Daily Mail, known as the Mail Online, was going to publish a potentially damaging story, she took steps to push the tabloid, well, not to. And during their relationship, she did this not once, but twice. Joining us to discuss the details of this story is our West Coast Bureau Chief, Ben Fritz. Hey, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
So between 2016 and 2019, Sheryl Sandberg was dating Bobby Kotick, and she goes to the Mail Online to ask them to drop this story. Can you tell us, you know, what the piece was supposed to be about?
Sure. It was supposed to be about an incident in 2014 when a former girlfriend of Bobby Kotick's got a temporary restraining order against him and requested a longer-lasting order, but later dropped that request. And it was over an incident when Kotick allegedly went to her house uninvited after they had broken up and tried to get in, and she called the police. As far as the 2016 incident, we heard from sources that Bobby Kotick told people that Sheryl Sandberg conveyed to the Mail that if they published that article, that it would damage the news organization's business relationship with Facebook. However, Bobby Kotick gave us a statement in which he said, "I never said anything like that." And Kotick also said that the journal's other reporting about this matter was inaccurate, although he didn't provide any further details on what exactly was inaccurate or how it's inaccurate.
Do we know any more about those allegations or what Kotick has said about them?
We know the accuser told people privately that she had exaggerated some of the accusations, and some of the things she said were not true. And I know Kotick and Sandberg essentially tried to convey to the Daily Mail that the accusations were not true. That was their position. Also, after our article was published, we then received a written statement from a representative for the ex-girlfriend, and she said that the statement she had made about Kotick 8 years ago were false.
And how do we know that Kotick and Sandberg tried to convey to the Daily Mail that the accusations were not true?
We know this because we spoke to sources who were involved in or aware of the lobbying effort by Kotick and Sandberg against the Daily Mail.
Okay, so Sandberg went to the Mail Online more than once to get this story dropped. How did she go about pursuing that the first time?
We know that Martin Clark, who was then the editor-in-chief of the Mail Online, their digital version, he told employees that they weren't going to run the article and that he had heard from Ms. Sandberg, you know, according to a person who was familiar with that incident.
Do we know if she involved anyone else on her team or on Kotick's team to help her with this?
Yes, we know that the discussions about how to handle this and this strategy involved executives from Activision and from Facebook, involved Bobby Kotick and Sheryl Sandberg themselves, and involved outside PR advisors and attorneys in the U.S. and in the U.K. where the Daily Mail publishes.
Was anything else motivating Sandberg here?
Well, yes. We were told by sources that, you know, Sheryl Sandberg and people close to her were certainly concerned about how this article would reflect on her and, you know, her advocacy for women in the workplace, you know, her efforts with her book and her nonprofit group Lean In, for example.
You mentioned she went to the Mail more than once to get this story dropped. What did she do the second time around when the story was coming up?
So in 2019, we know from sources that Sheryl Sandberg emailed Jonathan Harmsworth, who actually has an aristocratic title. He's called Viscount Rothermere. That's how he's known to some people in the UK. And he's chairman of the Daily Mail's parent company. And she emailed him with her concerns about the article. Sheryl Sandberg actually wrote that she appreciated the Mail's, quote, commitment to getting the facts right, unquote, according to our sources. So Rothermere, who again is the owner, he has a policy of not getting involved in editorial matters. And he referred her to Martin Clark, who again was the editor-in-chief of the Mail Online. And then Martin Clark and Sheryl Sandberg exchanged emails in 2019 about this issue. And once again, the Daily Mail ultimately did not publish the article.
What does Facebook say?
We do have a statement from Meta, which is Facebook's parent company, and they said Sheryl Sandberg never threatened the Mail Online's business relationship with Facebook in order to influence an editorial decision.
Did Meta take any other action in response?
Facebook has started a review of Sheryl Sandberg's actions in these incidents involving the Daily Mail, and they're reviewing specifically whether she violated the company's rules, according to some people who are close to her and to Bobby Kotick. And I think it is noteworthy that this review started after the Wall Street Journal had begun reporting on these incidents, which we started late last year.
You know, Ben, she's a senior executive at Meta. How much influence does that carry?
Sure. I mean, Facebook has a huge influence on traffic for all news organizations around the world right now, including the Mail Online. And, you know, they have business relationships with many, many news publications, again, including the Mail. So people who have worked with her told us that, you know, even if Sheryl Sandberg didn't make any kind of a direct threat, even if she didn't interfere with the business relationship at all, simply hearing from her is something that, you know, carries a lot of weight. And some people who work with her said the fact that she made such a call to try to influence what the Daily Mail would publish is, you know, cause for concern.
I mean, it's probably worth noting, you know, like you say, Facebook generates a lot of reader traffic for news sites. How important is it specifically to the Mail Online's bottom line?
Sure. So we have some data on the traffic that Facebook delivers to the Mail Online. And we know that in 2010, about 10% of the Mail Online's traffic in the UK came from Facebook. By 2019, that had declined to just under 4%, according to a web analytics firm. We also know that in 2016, at that time, Facebook had announced two new formats for video ads, and the Daily Mail was one of the premium publishers who had received advanced access to them. So they certainly had a close business relationship at that time.
All right, so small picture, you might say this is about a woman trying to protect someone she's in a relationship with. What's the big picture?
The story here is about the fact that, you know, the second most powerful executive at one of the most powerful companies on the internet that has a huge influence on the success or failure of news companies on the internet, she attempted to influence, you know, the editorial decisions of a major news publication, and that editorial decision that involved, you know, a person from her personal life. And she was concerned about him, about her then boyfriend, and she was concerned about how it would reflect on her. And, you know, this kind of mixing of business relationships with personal relationships, you know, is certainly something that I think is worthy of attention and scrutiny.
All right. That's our West Coast Bureau Chief, Ben Fritz. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.